We'll open the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation for Thursday, April 30th. We had a record last time. We may not meet that record today, but we'll see what happens. We're going to go a little bit out of order. We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2871. Mr. Stembridge.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2871 directs the Oregon Department of Transportation to waive the reinstatement fee for a person whose driving privileges were suspended for withdrawal from school if the person has graduated from high school or has received a GED certificate.
Representative Barker, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jeff Barker. I'm a state representative from House District 28. House Bill 2871 is a small technical fix. Currently, the law states that Oregon school districts may contact the Department of Motor Vehicles to notify the department that a high school student has been suspended or expelled. The DMV then charges a student a $75 fee when they apply for their driver's permit or license. The idea being that it's an added incentive for academic performance and acceptable attendance and behavior. Mrs. Sparks from Oregon Department of Transportation will tell you, however, only a handful of Oregon school districts do notify DMV when this happens. The Beaverton School District happens to be one. That's fine. I support the district's policy. However, I believe a constituent of mine has been confronted with a situation that is inconsistent with the spirit of the law. David Belmonte, a 21-year-old graduate of Beaverton High School, went to DMV late last year to apply for his driver's permit for the first time. He was asked to pay a $75 reinstatement fee. Due to a developmental disability, he and his parents felt he was unready for a permit before then. Because Mr. Belmonte missed a lot of school during an illness he had as a teenager, he had been suspended and the district had notified the DMV. Even though the missed days from school had been years ago, and even though Mr. Belmonte had subsequently graduated from high school, he was asked to pay a $75 reinstatement fee before he could be issued a driver's permit. In doing so, the DMV was applying the letter of the law, but I believe this violated the spirit. Thus, I submitted House Bill 2871. The bill makes a small change to this policy. It simply says that an individual will not be asked to pay reinstatement fee when they've already graduated from high school or have a GED, and the individual will be required to show a proof of that. I provided written testimony from the Beaverton School District in support of this minor change, and thank you for the hearing.
Okay, Ms. Parks, do you want to comment on this bill? And then we'll subject Representative Barker to his usual grilling. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Chair McFerr, members of the committee, my name is Paloma Sparks from the Department of Transportation. House Bill 2871 should have a very limited impact on DMV. Over the past 2 years, fewer than 50 students per year were suspended under the school district notification program. It's just not widely used, and we're fine. We'll just waive the fee as long as proof of graduation or GED is shown.
Questions from the committee? Waiving fees.
I just wonder if we should delete the statute, actually.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing, open a work session, House Bill 2871.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move House Bill 2871 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2871 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Since it was brought by a Beaverton person, the closest person to Beaverton is probably Senator Starr. Would you like to carry that?
Certainly.
Okay, let's now open up public hearing on House Bill 2233. Mr. Stembridge.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2233 increases the bond required for commercial driver training school certified by the Oregon Department of Transportation from $2,500 to $10,000. It increases the required insurance coverage for bodily injury, death, or death from $100,000 to $300,000, and for the destruction of property from $25,000 to $50,000. This is for ODOT certified commercial driver training schools. It removes insurance requirement for ODOT certified commercial driver training schools that provide classroom only instruction.
Okay, Ms. Sparks. We got 60 votes in the House on this. We'll see how you do here.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, again, for the record, Paloma Sparks from the Department of Transportation. The summary read by the committee administrator pretty much says it all on this bill. The bond and motor vehicle liability insurance requirements were set in the 1960s and haven't been updated since then. The cost to the commercial drive schools, we estimate right now for the bond, is about $100 a year. It'll go to $200 a year. And the cost for the motor vehicle liability insurance, the change to that will be about 10% for the year. And it's just where the motor vehicle liability insurance is just updating to the next level. The bond is going from $2,500 to $10,000.
And you're eliminating one of the insurance requirements?
Yeah, the current statute requires that all commercial drive instructors have this motor vehicle liability insurance, even if they don't use vehicles. So we'd like to fix it so the ones that don't use vehicles don't have to pay for motor vehicle liability insurance.
That would be low-risk insurance for the insurance company, wouldn't it? Any questions for Ms. Sparks?
Yeah.
Senator Starr.
You explained the bill, what the bill does, but you didn't give me a reason why the department is proposing the bill. What problem are we fixing here?
Well, we're fixing the bond level, for one. We did a survey of other nearby states, and ours is very low. We've got students who are learning how to drive behind the wheel. We'd like to make sure that the rest of the driving public is protected. We're just asking that companies carry a little bit more protection, so if something happens that an innocent driver who also happened to be on the road at the same time is protected.
Let me follow up, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Do we have examples of where you've got commercial drivers that have had their students have had accidents where in the middle of that accident folks were left in a harmed condition financially because the driver's school didn't have enough insurance?
I don't have that in front of me. I can get it to you. But it's just sort of reflecting the current standards is all that we're trying to do.
Any other questions? Senator Schreier.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up. I don't disagree with the bill, I will say that. I understand what you're trying to do. But from 1960s to now was a long time. So when you look at... I guess I'm trying to tease out a little bit what Senator Starr was trying to get at. Why did it take the department so long to look at this? I mean, these are bigger increases, and it seems that you could be adjusting them incrementally over time. So is there no schedule or no mechanism whereby these things are looked at in a standard manner or, you know, every few years you kind of revisit pieces? I guess that's what I'm wondering.
Chair Metzger, Senator Schreider, the levels are set by statute, right. And we just hadn't revisited the statute in that time.
Okay.
And we've got some other driver ed bills that are up, and I think that we were just looking at them more closely this session.
Just follow up. I understand that, but I guess what I'm saying is there must be sets of things, that there must be some schedule with which you revisit things in statute, and that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, is that there must be some kind of a overall plan, schedule to revisit certain kind of statutory regulations rather than it. My experience on this committee is some of these things just seem to be popping up randomly with no schedule. As I said, I'm not against the bill, but suddenly appears that we're fixing something that had been in statute since the 60s. Why didn't we look at it in 1970, 1975? Do you see what I'm trying to get at here? Anyhow.
Chair Metzger, Senator Schreider, I do understand what you're saying. I'm new to ODOT, so I can't answer all.
Where were you in the 70s?
No, we're in the 70s.
I don't think you were.
Were you here in the 70s?
We were here in the 70s.
She has a personal out.
Yes, she does.
Senator George.
Well, actually, I recognize the need for increase the vehicle insurance. However, the bond requirement, like as you said, increases it from $100 to $200 basically for the year. But that's probably the profit of one of the students going through the school. And so these schools are pretty small businesses. And I'm trying to figure out why, when you look at what you can claim against the bond, I'm trying to figure out why you would need to increase the bond. I mean, the insurance makes sense to me, but the bond seems like the bond is almost still about what you would need to go against to, because the items are in line 15 through 21 on page 1, and I'm not sure there's anything in that there that would trigger a reason to go to $10,000. I mean, I understand it was, last time it was adjusted was the 60s, but you are probably taking up the way the profit of at least one or two students per year out of that company, and I'm just kind of looking at this thinking, does this really need to go up so high that it costs? I mean, I know it seems small, but that was one thing I'm not sure I agree with.
Chair Metzger, Senator George, I think we picked the $10,000 because we checked with what other states were doing, and we just sort of tried to get in line with, that was about the minimum of what the neighboring states have set as their bond requirement, and we just went with what that was.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have you done a survey of the schools to see what their actual what they're actually carrying? My guess is that most of these schools are carrying way more than what the minimum is. Do you have any? Have you done a survey of what the commercial driving schools are currently, how they're currently covered?
Chair Metzger, Vice Chair Starr, I have not. I don't have that in front of me. I can go back and ask for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nothing would require a company to carry more than the bare minimum.
Yeah. Actually, I would be interested in that myself, just curious to see. I mean, if I was running the business, I would probably want to have a bond that I felt was adequate for my own protection. But if you could give us some information on that, it would be helpful.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and stay there. Senator Bishop wanted to testify, so come on up.
Good afternoon, Chair Metzger, members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to address the committee this afternoon. My name is Sandra Bishop. I'm here representing the Driving School Association of Oregon, the DSAO, and we oppose this bill for exactly the kind of questions that have been coming up. I won't read through my testimony. I'll try to be a little briefer. There seems to be no reason for this increase.
Are you talking about the bond or the insurance?
The bond.
Okay.
The bond, yeah, for the bond and increase. There's approximately 25 to 30 commercial schools operating in the state under DMV. About 30% of the teens who take driver's ed are going through about two or three of those schools. But this bill is going to have a severe impact on the smaller independent operators. It's a doubling in the fee for the bond. It will really drive up the cost of driver's education. So the question that I was, you know, the association folks wanted me to ask is, of you, is why are we making safety in Oregon more expensive? And it may seem like an insignificant amount of money when it's isolated like this, but the driving schools have been really getting a lot of regulations and pushing the prices up, so it does make a difference. It also seems to be part of a pattern. If, as far as why is it being brought up now, there hasn't been a problem. We don't know of any reported instances of the bonds being drawn against, but it seems to be a pattern of TSD, ODOT-TSD, attempting to create a monopoly. They've pretty successfully created a monopoly in safety education for motorcycle safety, and they're very close to creating a monopoly on the side of teen driver's ed, so we oppose the bill.
Senator Starr.
Thank you. Now I'm thoroughly confused. My read of the bill.
I'm on the wrong bill. I'm on 2233. Is that correct?
My read of the bill, 2233, it relates to commercial driver training schools. And I had in my head that we're talking about driving schools that train folks to drive commercial vehicles. But then I look at Ms. Sparks' testimony, and she says commercially operated driving schools in her testimony. So now I'm confused. Are we talking about folks that are teaching, commercial vehicles how to drive? And I'm thinking commercial vehicles as trucks, large trucks. And then Ms. Bishop comes up and talks about the DSAO organizations that are basically teaching teenagers how to drive. So can I have it cleared up in my mind exactly what kinds of driver schools we're talking about?
Chair Metzger, Vice Chair Starr, it is commercially operated driver training for new drivers.
Teenage drivers?
Yeah.
So commercial driver training school, so...
This is a problem we had on the House side. Also, I tried to clarify it. I may not have done the best job, but it's about new drivers. It's not for commercial drivers. It's new drivers of Class C.
It reiterates my thoughts about the bond issue for certain, because I was thinking, well, if you're driving a big truck, that maybe makes more sense to have. All right, thank you. That's helpful. Yeah.
So, Ms. Bishop, so how much is a $2,500 bond, and how much is a $10,000 bond? How much does that cost? You said it's going to be financially harmful, so I want to know what that amount is.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, I'm trying to rack my memory to recall a conversation a few weeks ago. I think it's a difference between $100 to $250 or something like that, or $100 to $200, something like that. I can check and get you exact figures, but that's what I recall.
Well, I would like that. I think, Ms. Sparks, if you get the information, you do. And then also, Ms. Bishop, I will say, forgetting the policy part, that's kind of a separate question, but in terms of harm, it would be hard for me, if that's what it turns out to be, to say a school is going to be financially harmed for $100. Now, the policy is another issue, whether it's necessary to raise it. You know, we'll have that discussion when we get some more information, but that would seem very, very difficult for me to see that as a high hurdle to do. Any other questions from the committee? Well, let's get some information. We'll bring the bill back. How's that?
Right. Okay.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 2233. All right. Where should we go now? Let's open a public hearing on House Bill 2041, Road Machinery.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2041 exempts road machinery from vehicle title and registration requirements.
Okay. Who do we have to testify here? Come on up.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, my name is Mike Eliason. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. I'm just here to briefly speak in support of House Bill 2041. The reason why, basically what this bill would do is allow county road maintenance vehicles, such as backhoes or snow blowers, road graders, to operate on the roads without a title and license plate, title and registration, basically. Up until 2005, DMV had always granted title and registration to these vehicles. However, 2005, they took a new look at some federal standards and determined that this equipment didn't meet federal standards for being granting title and registration. At the same time, they understood that there are going to be times, whether it's a storm and you need to clear the roads or clear brush or clear snow, there'll be times when these maintenance vehicles need to be on the road. So we worked with them. They helped draft this bill, which would basically just grant an exemption to be on the road. Most of the time, they don't need to be on the road. They'll be, say, trailered to a work site, but there are times when some of these maintenance vehicles need to be on the road. So this basically would just grant an exemption for them to do so. And it was on the consent calendar on the House side and passed 60 to nothing. So that's basically what this bill would do. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
So you're creating an exemption. Is for those that are occasionally on the road, do most of the counties go ahead and title and register them now?
They have in the past. However, starting in 2005, any new ones,
right,
they could no longer do that.
Right. Well, yeah. But that's why I'm fine with that, but I'm just trying to think. We exempted something that essentially is already exempt, aren't we?
Yes, Chair Metzger.
Exempting the exemption from the exemption.
This would just now basically put that on the books. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We always get these interesting things.
Real clear.
Yeah, make it real clear we really mean it this time. Is there any questions?
No.
So then close the public hearing and open the work session on House Bill 2041.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2041 is Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2041 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? Who would like to have line with this bill on the floor? Senator Starr. Okay. We did this. All right, let's open up public hearing on House Bill 2234.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2234A authorizes the Oregon Transportation Commission to regulate the health and safety of roadside rest areas and scenic overlooks by administrative rule. It provides a fine of $360 maximum for violation.
Okay, Amy Joyce.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, Amy Joyce, Department of Transportation, here today on House Bill 2234A, which creates a penalty of up to a Class D violation for folks who don't abide by health and safety rules that the Oregon Transportation Commission would write for behavior in roadside rest areas. Rest areas basically exist for the safety of motorists and convenience. Rest areas have bathrooms and vending machines, an opportunity for motorists to stretch their legs, maybe take a quick nap so they can be refreshed and get back on the road. Current administrative rules for rest areas prohibit certain things, camping in the parking lot, doing any number of different things. But there isn't any penalty for violating those rules. So what law enforcement is left with is trying to take those behaviors and sort of jam them into other more general types of violations, trespass, harassment, something like that. So what this bill would do is give the Transportation Commission specific authority to write rules regarding health and safety issues in the rest areas, and that the violation of those rules would be up to a Class B violation, which is up to a $360 fine. This is similar to authority already granted in statute to state parks, and with this authority, law enforcement could have sort of a statute to go to get at some of this behavior that really does impact motorist safety. So I'd be ready for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Joyce. Is the camping or the kind of hanging out the biggest problem that we have in some of the rest areas, or are there other behaviors that...
Sure. Chair Metzger, members of the committee, lots of problems in rest areas. Camping isn't the number one. We have folks being very aggressive in approaching motorists, whether it's for panhandling or to express their views or do any number of things, aggressively coming after folks, blocking the ways to restrooms, performing various hygiene activities in the bathrooms. Camping in the rest areas actually is a problem beyond just the idea that they aren't supposed to be doing it. Rest areas have certain capacities, and when you have a bunch of folks dropping their trailers in the rest areas and taking up all of the or lots of the parking spots, there isn't room for people who want to use it in an appropriate way to come in and use the rest area in an appropriate way, so they keep going down the highway and don't have the opportunity to stop and take the appropriate break. So we have any number of problems in rest areas, and this would get at some of them.
But we don't currently have a penalty for it, so we just try to encourage them to not do bad behavior there.
Chair Metzger, that's right. Sometimes the best we or a law enforcement officer can do is just sort of encourage people to move on down the highway. And what we've seen people do is law enforcement will kick a camper out of the rest area, and they go down to the next exit, circle back, and come right back in and set up camp again. So.
Okay. Interesting. Question, Senator George.
Thank you. As you know, one of the worst situations is just south of Wilsonville in my district, where there's basically homeless camps set up on either side of the rest stops, and they use them, and it's a very hostile situation. So, very supportive of what you're trying to do. I had one little question that kind of after staff came in and talked to me about it. Section 2 says the Oregon Transportation Commission may adopt rules governing activities in the right of ways. That seems like a really broad grant of rule writing authority to go beyond health and safety, and clue me in on why. I understand what we're trying to get at.
Yeah.
But is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
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 This is the statement, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Sorry. I was looking at the original bill. So that was it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She knew your question before you asked it.
Yeah, exactly.
They handled it in the house.
Any other questions?
That's enough.
I ask to close the public hearing and open our work session on House Bill 2234.
Move House Bill 2234A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2234A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Schrader, would you carry that one, please?
Absolutely. Thank you.
And just temporarily, I'm going to reopen the work session on House Bill 2871 and state for the record that the Driving School Association of Oregon supports House Bill 2871. We close that work session. Thank you. For the record. Okay. Now, let's open up a public hearing on House Bill 2235A.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2235A authorizes the Department of Transportation to enter private property prior to notifying the property owner to cut and or remove trees that are hazardous to a state highway. It requires the department to notify the property owner within a reasonable amount of time after cutting and or removing those hazardous trees.
Okay, now we go on to hazardous trees. Ms. Joyce, welcome.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, Amy Joyce, Department of Transportation, here now on House Bill 2235A, Hazard Trees. The bill would allow the Department of Transportation in very specific emergency types of situations which jeopardize public safety along the highways to go onto private property to remove hazardous trees without getting prior consent from the property owner. When trees are completely within highway right-of-way, the law is clear. We can go and take care of those trees, cut them up, take them away, whatever we need to do. Also, trees that are rooted on private property but perhaps overhanging onto the right-of-way, we also have the authority to cut those back to protect safety. What we run into is the problem where there is a tree that is completely on private property adjacent to a state highway and something happens, typically a storm, that makes that tree an immediate hazard to the motoring public. What we do in those situations would be to attempt to find the property owner and talk to them and get it taken care of. And when there's a home or a business, something right there, certainly we can do that. But we do have situations where there is a large piece of property, there isn't any resident person to talk to about what to do, and if that tree is going to pose a hazard to motorists, we need to be able to act quickly. And recent winter storms would be good examples of that, where we have hundreds of trees down in the road, overhanging right away, and then also having that potential. We attached a couple of pictures to the back of the testimony I handed out showing some examples of the kinds of things we run into. So the bill was amended on the House side to make it explicit that this is only where you have an immediate hazard, an emergency type of situation where we would utilize this, so it would be a very limited authority. The bill also requires us to, as soon as reasonably possible, to do a subsequent notification to the landowner to let them know what we've done. So with that, I would accept any questions.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Ms. Joyce? Okay, thank you. We all okay to go? Close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 2235A.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move House Bill 2235A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2235A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Let's see, we passed them all around. Senator Schrader, I'll give you this one, too.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Stenbridge, you want to talk to us about Monday?
We have an information meeting from the Metropolitan Planning Organizations. They'll have a very nice PowerPoint presentation for you. Understand them. You have two bills, one on agricultural products, another on four higher carriers of household goods.
Oh, I've been waiting for that bill. Okay. Any other information to come before the committee? If not, we'll return.